Hello, America, and to all our listeners all over the world who haven't yet gotten infected or died from the flu. You are watching, well, not watching, but listening to yet another episode of Let's Weekend. I am, of course, your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Filippo Nolfo, Patrick Mifflin, Terry Evans, and Chris Sologi. If you can make your way through all the sickness and phlegm, say hi.
Hey.
Hello.
Yeah, so it is the plague. I think we can acknowledge that now. It is the end times. Repent.
We are patient.
The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Bring out your dead.
Not quite dead yet.
I think I'll go for a walk.
I'm fortunate enough to work at a company that paid for flu shots for its entire staff. So, and even then, whatever crud's going around is cutting a swath through the office.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is a nasty one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went and got my flu shot back in October. So.
Yep.
I went and had to do my twice yearly checkup and went ahead and got it while I was getting my blood work done. So, I'm fortunately flu-free, but pretty much everybody else in my family.
Yeah, you're just watching everyone drop like flies around you.
Yeah, right? Pretty much. It's particularly bad this year because apparently the flu vaccine is not as effective as it has been in past years. Apparently it's only working for like... I think it's only being effective for like 10% of the people who've gotten it.
Shit.
Sorry. So far, so good.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I have to say that too. So far, so good.
Yeah, although I have been feeling a little mucousy over the last couple of days. So, who knows, I might be the next victim.
I don't know, that slow onset stuff, that's the cold.
Well, yeah, there's also that, which, by the way, I'm going to talk about said cold, because something that doesn't happen very often in the South happened this week, but...
The common cold can be a real motherfucker, too.
Yeah,
it can. Yeah, it can. Fortunately, I haven't gotten a cold in years. So, all right. So, Phil, what have you been up to this week?
So, I've been doing site stuff mostly. Apart from that, I've been looking for jobs, sending out applications. You know, pursuing and better. pursuing better employment, as in any employment. That'd be nice. So, but doing that, and also being sick and really miserable and not having any fun at all. So that's been that. I did play a bit of Street Fighter V Anniversary Edition. Probably talk more in depth about that at on Sunday. But I will say, holy crap, Sakura! I mean, really?
Yeah.
So
yeah, we're gonna have to talk about that on the Day Zero update because it covered a lot of ground.
In 10 minutes, it went way past where you expected it to.
Yeah.
So,
and I'll just say that if you haven't played it yet, her arcade mode ending does nothing to mitigate that.
Nope. And apart from that, well, I've just. Since I haven't been feeling well, I've been watching some TV stuff, you know, catching up on Mythbusters and the Grand Tour. I got a couple of episodes of those on deck, so I'll probably end up getting caught up fully on those over the weekend, because I don't think I'm going to be doing much else.
Mm.
So that's pretty much it for me.
I think you needed the recharge anyway.
Yeah.
All right, what about you, Pat?
So, in addition to more site stuff, which I will even be doing sporadically throughout the course of this podcast, I've also been revisiting a favorite book of mine called Playing to Win, Becoming the Champion by David Serlin. Mm-hmm. It's just a good mental refresher to consult every now and again as a fighting gamer to kind of remotivate yourself and help you readjust your priorities as a player. Really just get back to the same fundamentals that that you knowingly or unknowingly build upon to get as far as you have as a player. So with things going on both around the fighting genre and within it, I figured now was a good time to revisit the book. I highly recommend it to anyone who is serious about wanting to become a better fighting gamer, because it's there. I mean, that it is very good at explaining things that you might have had trouble putting into words before and making you conscious of things that you may or may not have internalized but not fully digested.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a great book, and I have to recommend it. So that's been about my week.
All right. Well, Teresa, what about you?
I've been playing copious amounts of Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Getting way too into so many side quests, but still making good progress in the main story. I'm up to the third divine beast. So yeah, I paused that yesterday. I'm like, I don't feel like finishing it now. So, yeah.
Any good side quests you've been doing?
Well, I got the royal mount and I named her princess. I just went ahead and decided that was going to be a girl horse. It's going to be a mare. And, I had just gotten the bridle and, saddle, and I took her out for a spin and she got killed. Immediately she hadn't even been wearing that for 30 seconds and these bokoblins or whatever the fuck you pronounce them, came up and they were just fucking awful, man. They were awful. I should have.
That's why I said fuck horses as soon as I could do
right?
it.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's I like, ended up finding a horse god.
Yeah. I just warp everywhere or fly around.
Yeah. Well, I really like doing the horse thing.
You can't Skyrim the horses up mountains, so they are useless for the most part.
Yeah, no, it's tried. I tried. Even with the Z targeting and going step by step, it's like, nah, that shit ain't working.
That would have been some good DLC stuff, like Billy, just turn him into something that can just run up walls.
Right?
Something ridiculous. I mean, you give him a bike, you might as well just go the extra mile. Make it easier for us to keep our horses around.
Yeah. Well, I ended up finding the horse god and reviving princess. So that was a fun little side thing.
You had to kill it? Is that what it is, or tame it?
No, I tamed it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That thing is fucking huge, from what I've heard.
Wait, the horse god? You don't tame that. You just give him like 500 or 1,000 rupees or something.
There's something you do with fucking around with him, and they get some good stuff. I forget what it is.
Hmm.
There's lots of weird shit in that game.
There really is. Yeah, it goes crazy, and I have scanned every fucking amiibo I have. Like, many
I haven't
times.
Gone that far yet.
Yeah, I even tried some of the Animal Crossing cards because, you know, they work too, but it's just mostly cooking ingredients and shit like that. And I've gotten creative with some of the recipes and had some interesting results. So, you know, overall, really, really digging it. Still, obviously, and I've talked about it several times before, but I've been doing a little bit of reading. Nothing like super spectacular. Like, I read Modern Hexes, which was really, really funny. Something like, may you never pay off your student loans. Which, you know, yeah. Yeah, may your one love interest in grad school have the first name of your mother. there are some gems in there. And I've been reading a Breadmaker Bible about pre-fermenting bread and shit like that. Keep in mind, I have not made bread in weeks, so I don't know why I'm I just go to the store and buy the shit, right? But still, reading it, and a lot of weird internet-y research, you know, the shit that everybody does when they're like, I don't know what to do with my life. show hopping, just been catching, like, a random episode of this and that. And today I went on a huge YouTube binge and started watching shit about the 90s. And showing,
yes, you do.
You know, showing my child the weird ass ads we used to watch in the 90s. And like, does this explain your parents a little bit better to you? And he's like, oh, yeah, you guys were crazy back then. I'm like, yeah, it was a different time. But a lot, but nothing. That's exactly what I've been doing. A lot, but nothing.
All right. Well, then. Chris, what about you?
Okay, so I watched the rest of the new DuckTales that is out there. It's 9 episodes, and it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're about halfway through. It's solid.
Yeah, so
they actually acknowledge the fact that, you know, Huey, Dewey, and Louie actually have a mom.
Yeah, and they go over the whole how they're with Uncle Donald and then get tossed off to Uncle Scrooge, what their two relationships are and all that sort of stuff. And it seems like they're slowly starting to introduce the side characters. They hint at Gizmo Duck, how his origins are going to be for this version of the show, at least. Mm-hmm. I sort of followed us up by watching the movie, the old movie, which was my entry point into the series, because back then Disney was kind of like the HBO for kids. Mm-hmm. Was that always that premium channel that you never really got, except for when your ISP did like a, or your carrier, your provider, whatever, did that like, hey, you get free Disney and HBO for the weekend. You brought out all your tapes to record as much stuff as you could. That sort of stuff. That was the only time I ever really got to watch it. But the movie I had on VHS and really enjoyed it, and so I watched it again recently. And I was a couple of things just reminded me of some of the differences with the new shows. Like Huey, Dewey, and Louie actually have like the rasp that Donald Duck has.
Mm-hmm.
Not as exaggerated, but it's there, definitely. I did not realize Christopher Lloyd was the villain in that thing. That was a big surprise. Like, what the hell is this guy doing in here? As well as realizing that Rip Taylor is the genie in that movie, which was obvious right away, because that is not a voice you mistake. Nobody else has that voice, but yeah, it was pretty good for what it was. Some good animation, though. You can definitely tell it's a show from like the early 90s. Compared to today, so you could tell the hand-animated parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
That it was really hand-animated, so... but other than that, it was pretty cool to watch and sort of see where the series was, you know, about 20-some years ago. As for just stuff that's new, I watched My Next Guest Needs No Introduction, which is the new Dave Letterman show. Mm-hmm. It's on Netflix. The first episode is up. It's basically doing a new episode every week, putting it up. They're hour-long interviews with one guest. The first one is Obama. He sort of talks to him about his life after leaving the office. Doesn't get too politically infused with all the questions, but they do some cool bits with John Lewis. Talking about the walk across the bridge,
at Selma. All
that stuff. Yeah. And the march and how that relates to Obama, sort of talking about how if they never did that, you would not have Obama as president.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of stuff. Talking about the role of race in society. Having his daughter go up to college and sort of all that stuff. It was really well done. I was not a big Dave Letterman fan, never really watched the show very much, but this was really well done. Dave still has the beard.
Yep.
Which Obama jokes about how he just needs the big like scepter thing to make him look like a holy man.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of stuff. Yeah, it's pretty well done. I'm looking forward to the next episode, which is George Clooney.
That's going to be nice.
Yeah. I think it's George Clooney, Malala Yousafzai. I forget. I don't know.
Malala Yousafzai. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, she's in there. I forget who else is in there. Jay-Z, I think, is one of them. There's two more, I think, 6 episodes for this first batch. I think it's one a week. I think every Friday. I think it's when they're out. But yeah, people definitely should check that out. I've been playing some Gravity Rush Remastered on the PS4, which is interesting to see how that Vita game was sort of remastered for the PS4, where you're not tilting the screen, which works pretty well. The gyro sensor stuff is really good on there compared to the Vita. it's sort of striking how different visually it looks from the sequel. Because it's really heavily cel-shaded on the Vita. And obviously the character models are simpler, not as detailed, and they have very much like hand-drawn looking faces. It looks very much kind of anime in a sense, because it's not really like 3D faces in a sense, like the new one is, where it just looks like a more of a console game. But other than that, it's still really fun. It's very much kind of Japan's Crackdown in a sense, where you have a much better story to it, just because there is one. It's not just, hey, this narrator guy makes comments, why do you shoot stuff and kill people? But yeah, you get to go around and collect all these gems that are all around this area, do some story stuff. It's pretty well done. Other stuff I've been playing is Fallout Shelter on the Xbox One. That game definitely needs a performance update on Xbox One X, mainly because the quest missions, which sort of take place in separate areas from your vault, they have some of the worst screen tearing I've ever seen in a game. Which, when you look at that game, there's no reason that should have that much of an issue with that stuff. Because it's just sort of 2.5D looking vault rooms. But you just move around, the screen tearing just constantly all over the screen. It's kind of crazy, but other than that, it's been fun kind of getting into that as I get more powerful weapons and such to fend off the invasions from raiders and feral ghouls and some of the other stuff that's in there. I'd be able to just do the quests, micromanage the people in my vault, and have a bunch of people in the various training rooms to upgrade their stats, and realizing that upgrading their endurance stat helps a lot in fights because they have lots of health. So they're not as easy to die in gunfights, which then I send those people out exclusively on quest because they're harder to kill. It's a lot easier to beat quests when you can't kill them easily. I also give them the big guns that do lots of damage, and it's been pretty easy to beat a lot of these quests now. So still control issues from before, that still hasn't really changed. But yeah, it just needs a performance update because the power of the Xbox One X is not being utilized to help with this game at all. But also playing some Forza Horizon 3, kind of just playing the main island stuff, trying to progress there. And I was doing some of the Forzathon stuff, which required me to go buy a car and use up all my money on some specific car you need to do a championship through. Then you get another car. It's like Lamborghini stuff. I had a bunch of stuff for that. That's nice. It's like the only game that's using that challenge system that the Xbox One has. That was originally a big deal on the around the launch. Like, hey, here's these like extra challenges developers can add for like timed events and such. And nobody used it, really. Especially as they made it harder and harder to find it. I don't think there's actually any way you can find it on the dashboard currently. I think I just find them through true achievements, because they somehow are able to capture that stuff, so you can see like all the challenges that are on Xbox Live right now, which I just looked at. It's three for Forza Horizon 3 and one for State of Decay, the remastered version. That's it. But yeah, that's been fun to go through still. I tried out it with the Xbox One X update they had. Being that I don't have a 4K TV, it didn't really seem to change much of anything. So maybe it runs a little bit better, but not really much of a change for somebody who doesn't have the 4K TV that it's supposed to be taking advantage of really well from what I've seen. But yeah, it's been kind of it, just dealing with cold fucking weather and snow, lots of snow here, and road crews that are not doing a great job of clearing out my neighborhood.
I hear that.
Because we got snow, had to have been Sunday or Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And my road, until I think today, I couldn't really see the road the entire week, driving on basically a nice layer of packed down snow from cars driving over it. Because it's like they plowed it halfway through the storm, and then we got another inch or two on top of it. It's like, yeah, that was good enough. No real applying salt or de-ice or anything like that. It's always nice trying to drive through the neighborhood and like, okay, I got to stop a little bit earlier than normal so my car doesn't skid past the turn. That sort of stuff. But now I can start seeing the road for the most part. Now it's just being worried about the snow piles up on the side of the road. Hoping those don't fall over and just add more snow to this mess. But it's supposed to start warming up in the next couple days, getting up to the 40s. And I think we get some rain, so that'll hopefully melt stuff. Hopefully. Anything can change around here, but how about you, Brandon?
All right, well, first and foremost, excuse me, I seem to be going through puberty again. First and foremost, I'll do that to you. Yeah. So, first and foremost, Street Fighter V Arcade Edition.
Yes.
I have it. And it is literally everything that I wanted out of the original release. It's got all of the DLC characters for the last couple seasons, plus, for this week only, Sakura for free.
Oh, Lord, that's going to warrant some discussion.
Oh, yeah. It's got some arc. It's got the arcade edition. Basically, it's in many ways, you could say it's got like five or six arcade editions.
Yes.
Because each one basically is specific to a specific era in Street Fighter. So, like, there's one for the original Street Fighter, Fighter 2, Street Fighter 3, Street Fighter Alpha, Street Fighter 4, and Street Fighter 5. And basically in all those arcade editions, when you choose that one, you can choose characters from the overall roster that are relevant to that particular part of the game. And so you do that and you basically fight. And then at the end of it, you get an ending, which is a nice piece of comic art that from some of the artists that work at Capcom and some guest artists basically telling
they
that
called in
part
all their
of
friends.
The story. Yeah. You know, that's basically it. You've also got, you know, the original story mode, the character story mode from the original still there. Also the cinematic story mode, but you can't actually do the cinematic story mode until I think you have to do all the character story modes before you can unlock it.
No, you have to download it separately.
Oh,
because they didn't want to just have it sitting there as a giant lump on your PS4 if you didn't need it there.
I gotcha. All right.
That's a lot of FMV.
Yeah, I guess it is. It's basically just everything I wanted out of the original release. It's basically all of my problems, all the problems I had with it were answered. Basically, like, they decided, you want your single-player content? Well, here, I hope you choke on it.
Yeah. And they gave you plenty to choke on.
Yeah. And let's just say that after playing that, I realized that George Akami, is that the name of the guy who's the character art, who's the designer, character designer?
For?
Street Fighter.
Oh, that's Daigo Akeno.
Oh, yeah.
Currently.
Let's just say that he has a certain type as far as women are concerned that I've come to realize very quickly.
George Kamitani has a similar distinction, but he's over at Vanillaware.
Yeah. And so I also got a chance to play some of the newer characters. It's a lot of fun. It really is. Pretty much it's been the sole gaming I've been doing since Tuesday. So that's basically what I've been playing as far as other stuff. So I'm watching anime and stuff that is a part of anime but doesn't qualify as anime. And Teresa apparently has too. This wonderful little show you can get on Crunchyroll called Thunderbolt Fantasy, which is this amazing, and I do mean amazing, collaboration between Gin Urobuchi and the people from Nitro Plus with a Taiwanese company called Pi Lee Studios. And
there's a lot going on there.
Yeah. Pi Lee is a, well, yeah, I said their name's Pi Lee. They're a company that does this glove puppet wuxia drama over in Taiwan. It's actually one of the longest running shows on Taiwanese television and also the most watched. And basically, a couple years ago, they were having an exhibition of theirs at the what was going to be the sort of anime convention over, or at least near the building where the anime convention in Taiwan was doing. And I think back in 2016, and, you know, Urobuchi was a guest there. And he just happened to go over to that exhibition and was basically astounded with the work they did. So he talked to the people over there. He said, you know what, we should collaborate on something. And the result is Thunderbolt Fantasy, which
thank goodness
is something that when you're told, when people tell you what it is, like give you the details, it's a sort of fantasy wuxia drama involving glove puppets. It shouldn't work as well as it does, but it does. It is amazing how well it works.
It's insane. There's just, we were talking earlier, there's so much going on in this. You know, they've got brilliant voice acting. There's special effects, obviously. The water, the smoke, the puppets, obviously. The set design. It's an art form. It's got a great story. I mean, you know, they got the Wandering Swordsman. Yeah, they've got the Wandering Swordsman, you know, who's there immediately, obviously. Mm-hmm. And it sucks you in. And why puppet waifu with anime stylings works is fucking beyond me. But it does.
And the best part is that it's not just, is that it the story-wise, let's admit, it's kind of a cliche storm, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
But here's the best part. It basically, well, first of all, it takes with all of those cliches and just runs with them. And it also does, I mean, it's an Urobuchi story, so you know it's going to be kind of playing on character types and deconstructing a lot of shit. And mostly the fact that the guy who is the wandering swordsman in the story really doesn't want to have anything to do with this at all.
It's all because of that fucking umbrella.
That fucking umbrella and that white-haired pretty boy under the tree smoking his pipe. The thing is, none of these puppets actually emote, like almost like at all. And it still doesn't matter. It works.
It does.
And it didn't really take you that long to get past it, did you? Did it?
No, it didn't.
Because they do it so well. But yes, that, and yeah, the choreography in particular, when you consider what it is they have to work with, is astounding.
I've seen live marionette productions, and you know, with fairly intricate settings and stage, and you know, that was like super awesome and probably technically very difficult. This is like that on steroids.
Yeah, and
in outer space, but it's not in outer space.
Yeah, no, it's not in outer space. It's apparently back during the Qin Dynasty or something like that.
Yeah,
like the way these wuxia stories go, it's some undetermined time way back in China's past. That's kind of how it works. But yeah, so if you're listening and you've got access to Crunchyroll, go on Crunchyroll, watch the first episode. If it doesn't hit you yet, just give it a minute. Trust me, you'll thank me later.
And then when you're done with that, a suggestion? Kamen Rider Gaim. Tokusatsu from the same writer.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't know where to watch that.
I will fix that for you.
Send me a link. Because I've heard an awful lot about Kamen Rider Gaim, and so other than that, something else happened this week that really doesn't happen awful lot down here in the South, and that is we got snow.
Yep.
Granted, it wasn't a whole lot.
From what I gather.
Eh, not where I was. We got some, and a lot of it was already melted by the time I woke up, but...
You know, dealing with utility providers down there, I would have thought the entire state had been shut down.
Well, this is Georgia.
Maybe northern Georgia, yeah.
I'm just saying I made a lot of phone calls that were picked up by automated messages. Due to inclement weather, we are closed for the day.
Well, I mean, they see a forecast of a flake, and they call off the whole fucking state. I mean, isn't that how it's supposed to go?
Pretty much.
Unlike those poor suckers in Kentucky. They got ice, and then they got, like, 6 inches of snow. And they were stuck in for, like, 5 days or something. In the meantime, they got another 6 inches of snow. It is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can physically get to you people, but I can't get in your driveway, so I'm not going to visit. Hey, you can't use a snowblower on a gravel driveway.
Nope.
Well, not successfully.
No.
Well, you can. You just have to not be worried about the damage you do otherwise.
You need some sort of like net to catch them.
That'd be a real fine net.
Yeah. But I remember looking out my bedroom window and going, "Dear God, the legends, they were true." but yeah, so we did get some snow, and that is basically like Party City.
Yeah.
Down here, where all of a sudden it's like, "Holy crap, the school they're closed for the day!" So all the kids were also there, and
then the snow melts, and you're like, oh.
Well, nah, it's just muddy.
Yeah. But, that's pretty much what I've been doing this week. You guys got anything else to add before we move on?
Yeah, well, up here, it's always a case of, oh, that district got closed because of the snow. Why isn't ours closed? Sort of thing. People get mad at each other.
Because your bus has started, mofos.
All right, then. Well, with that, I do believe it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. So, we've all played Darkstalkers at one time or another, right?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Hungry Bear Restaurant, 3 a.m., all through college.
Yeah. So, everybody remembers back when Darkstalkers came out, and, you know, it was pretty unique concept. Basically, take all the famous monsters from Filmland and other places, put them all in a game and have them beat the hell out of each other. Pretty much licensed print money, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Solid concept.
So... Then the sequel came out.
Bangus did some fantastic artwork for it, I have to add.
Oh, right. Yeah. And then the sequel came out, right? And there was one character. Yep. And then the sequel came out, and there was this one character that we all saw. And it was this one. All right. You see that one?
Yep.
All right. Who is that?
Ushinko or Lele, depending on what region you're playing.
Yeah, so she came out in the second game, and she, of course, became very quickly a fan favorite. Now, when this came out, here's the thing. A lot of people were not so sure about her because they didn't know exactly what she was. Because, you know, up to this point with the original Darkstalkers, we all had, you know, Western horror tropes that we could all grasp upon. We had, you know, vampire, demon.
I know about these things.
Yeah,
the Chinese ghost is a little more obscure to Western sensibilities.
Yeah. And so now I'm going to tell you exactly who Zion Ko was. Is, because Darkstalkers still very much exists.
We sure hope.
Zion Ko, yeah. Zion Ko is... Zion Ko, that's her name?
Shenko. Right, yeah.
Shenko is a Jiangshi, or as we in English call them, the Chinese hopping vampires.
I know I've said that in English before, right?
Yeah, this is there's a whole DLC thing in Sleeping Dogs that's around these things.
Yeah.
In Hong Kong.
These particular things have been around at least as long as the Qin dynasty. So centuries and centuries ago. In fact, their name, Jiangshi, literally translates to stiff corpse. And basically what they are is so a lot of people always compare them to vampires because in some cases, yeah, they very much are like vampires, but they're a very specific Asian kind of vampire because of their entire construction, I guess. So basically a Jiangshi will often show up you won't see one because they're not real, but if you see them in movies or art or a book or something, this is usually how they're depicted. They're usually depicted as wearing official robes from the Qin dynasty. So with Jinko, you notice the robe, the long floppy sleeves, the hat, mm-hmm. all that stuff. Like I said, that's Qing dynasty. It's basically during that time when they were, government bureaucrats or officials, they all wore that uniform, basically. Usually these corpses, unlike vampires, where, they're usually like bitten by another vampire and that makes them a vampire or something along that line. Jiangshi in many ways are a bit more like zombies in that they're usually brought about through some sort of supernatural art or spirit possession.
Mm.
Usually in traditional texts, they're usually either a recently deceased person or a corpse that's been buried for a long time but does not decompose. Here are some ways of how they come about. They're usually used by black magic that brings back the dead. Spirit possession of a dead body. A corpse absorbs efficient. God damn, I've been drinking. A corpse absorbs sufficient yang qi to return to life, as in yin and yang, and qi as in, well, qi. Yes. A person's body is governed by three huns and seven poes. This is basically means a person's hun is good, but his po is evil. His hun is intelligent, but his po is foolish. The hun leaves his body after death, but his po remains. So basically, it's like good energy and bad energy.
Okay.
The dead person is not buried even after a funeral has been held. So basically, it's sort of that whole Chinese thing of respecting the dead. The corpse comes back to life after being struck by lightning or when a pregnant cat or a black cat occasionally leaps across the coffin. When a person's soul fails to leave the deceased body due to improper death, suicide, or just wanting to cause trouble. And finally, a person injured, and this is a recent addition, a person injured by a Jiangshi is infected with the quote-unquote Jiangshi virus and gradually changes into a Jiangshi over time, which is seen in the Mr. Vampire films in China. So that's a recent addition, and obviously it gets its ideas from the Western vampire
tradition.
Yeah,
that's a very Western influence.
Yeah.
Now, a Jiangshi usually can range from in appearance from unremarkable, if they were recently deceased, or horrifying. Because unlike, Western vampires, Jiangshi can actually decompose over time. The effects of decomposition do, in fact, affect them. In fact, the reason they're called hopping vampires, and in fact, why they're given the term stiff corpse, is because they're literally stiff from rigor mortis, so they actually cannot walk like a normal person. That's why they have to hop or jump around everywhere.
Okay.
In a lot of cases, it can't even bend its arms, so its arms are always straight out.
They sound more like zombies.
Yeah. Now, as you may have noticed with Jin Ko, of course, her arms are usually, when she's fighting, her arms are usually stuck out in front of her. Also because of the what you've probably seen, Jin Ko has the huge claws. Jiangshi usually have because, you know, it's always been a superstition that a person's fingernails continue growing after they're dead.
Yeah. Well,
Jiangshi usually have long claw-like fingernails. It'll usually have greenish white skin. Usually
embellished hilariously in Darkstalkers.
Yeah. It's they'll have some sort of fungus or mold growing on them, which makes their skin weird colors. They'll have long, their hair will usually be white.
I'm pretty sure Jin Ko is hiding an entire armory under there.
Yeah, she basically has Acme's assorted Looney Tune fighting implement stuff inside her robe. So, and of course, they are in fact called hopping vampires for a reason. They feed off the chi or life force of their victims. And there is one more thing about them that I need to bring up, because here's the thing about Jin Ko. Jin Ko isn't just one person, is she?
She's two.
Yeah. She has a twin sister. Yeah.
She has a twin sister.
Well, her sister is the talisman.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you know what those talismans are used for?
Sealing.
Exactly. They are specifically talismans with characters taken specifically from the Tao Te Ching. And it's usually stuck on their foreheads or you know, on those little hats of theirs so that it will immobilize them. And as long as you keep firmly stuck on their heads, they can't move. So here we've got some... These are a couple of items and ways and methods that you can use to actually counter or avoid Jiangshi's. Now, some of these are actually kind of neat. So here we go. First one, mirrors. They're basically mirrors, unlike vampires who, you know, don't cause a reflection. Jiangshi do cause reflections. They're just scared to death of them. any item that's made from wood from a peach tree. A rooster's call, which, you know, makes sense because, you know, these are night creatures, and when a rooster calls, that means the sun's rising. The seeds of jujubes. Specifically, it says you should nail 7 jujube seeds into the acupuncture points on the back of a corpse to forbid it, to keep it from becoming a Jiangshi. They also do not like fire or even the sound of fire. They are afraid of the hooves of a black donkey. Vinegar, because vinegar, you know, pickles and preserves. The sign of the Bagua. That's a Tao thing. The I Ching. The Tongshu glutinous rice. Chaff from a rice crop. Handbells, adzuki beans. The blood of a black dog. Axes, brooms. Holding one's breath. Because they kind of track. Because remember, Jiangshi can neither hear, see, or smell. So they basically sense if a person is around by their chi. And if you hold your breath, you can basically silence your chi. And dropping a bag of coins, which causes them to drop down and try and start counting them, which, considering most of them tend to be really stiff, just basically means they end up falling on their faces. And finally, yes, Taoist talismans stuck on the forehead to immobilize them while it is firmly stuck on. And in case you're wondering, yes, there is a whole genre of movies in the Chinese-speaking world based around these things.
Wow.
And they are terrifying.
Shit.
And that, my friends, has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid. Yeah, those
very
things are
interesting.
Yes, those things are friggin' terrifying.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. No sleep tonight.
Did I mention these things, when they walk, they usually walk around with their eyes rolled into the back of their heads? So
oh,
it's like,
Brandon, did you have to say that? God damn it! Sorry. That's one of my triggers.
Yeah. All right. So, finally, now time to start the show proper. And the very first part of our show, of course, as always, is the asshole of the week. We have two this week. The first one is ICE, who decided to just be the assholes that they are and do what is their purpose, which is to separate families by deporting an immigrant after he failed to get legalization.
I also point out that ICE is asshole of the week 2 weeks in a row, so congrats.
Yeah.
They got it. His wife wanted to help him get legalized. They hired a lawyer for that, I think spent like $120,000.
Yeah.
And they fucked up the paperwork.
Wonderful.
Oh, so yeah, he was the one who came in at 10 years old. 10 years old. Come on, guys. That's like third grade.
Yeah.
And part of the problem with people who come in this way is, you know, they have to go back out and try to get in a legal manner.
Yeah.
And they may never be able to come back.
Nope.
But, and this could be true for him, too. He may not be able to come back and see his own kids. I mean, he was part of their income. How is his family going to fucking survive? They sent away a wage earner.
Yeah. But ICE doesn't care.
No.
ICE doesn't care. Because ICE are basically the American Gestapo at this point.
And it's horrible. He tried at great expense. He tried.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and I want to say there's been some people offering to help pay for fees to help them get this all situated. I forget who, some fairly prominent celebrities want to help out, I assume, for at least help and pay the bills and all that for the time being. But yeah, he has to wait to get in touch with the U.S. Embassy in Mexico.
Yeah.
Something like that, and they're not easy to get appointments for this sort of stuff. So it has to be at least like 18 months just to get that started.
Yeah. So, for second week in a row, ICE's are assholes of the week. Because, like I said, they only exist to separate families. That's literally their one and only purpose. To separate families and to basically dragnet cities so that they can drag up some random, you know, some random yard worker and then ship them back to a country they probably haven't been to in years.
And they're invoking the will of the president, which obviously Obama was very much not interested in deporting these sorts of people that had no records. No nothing, no real reason to get rid of them.
Yeah. Don't get us wrong, because there's a reason people called Obama the deporter-in-chief. Because he definitely did deport a lot of people. But these specific groups we're talking about now, he didn't.
Because they have no criminal activity. They're contributing to the U.S. economy. They have families. They're living a good life. They're not
harmed.
They
pay taxes.
Yeah.
They pay taxes. I think people often forget that. Illegal immigrants pay a lot of taxes. Not only do they pay a lot of taxes, but because they're undocumented, they can't actually access any of the services that those taxes pay for. But they still do it. And like I said, when Obama was president, ICE didn't do any of this. But they act on the will of the president. And guess who's president now?
Can I forget?
I wish we could.
Can we drink ourselves that stupid?
Yeah. We're working on it.
We're trying. I'm trying it.
And the one nice thing is his wife basically saying there will be no ICE coming to the door to try and deport me because I'm a U.S. citizen. There's nothing ICE can do to shut me up. So she's definitely going to try to keep the fight up for as long as she can.
Yeah. But yeah, fuck you, ICE. You're a drain on our resources, and you're a fucking parasite.
Yeah.
Lapdogs of the president. So, that isn't our only assholes of the week. We've got these assholes of the week. These guys, holy shit. Man, this is like...
This is like the worst we have heard about in years.
Yeah, so... over in, was this, I think this was in California, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
California.
There's two parents. One of them has the dad has this fucking Captain Kangaroo haircut.
He's got crazy eyes or crazy hair.
Eyes. Pretty sure these two were like religious fanatics or something.
They yeah. abso-fucking-lutely are.
They were arrested this week for torturing, abusing, and imprisoning their 13 children. By the way, when we're talking about children here, we mean children in the not in the literal sense, but the biological sense, because one of these individuals was 29.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 2 to 29.
And the 29-year-old was mistaken for a 15-year-old.
Because of how terribly malnourished she was.
Yeah.
There was they said the 20-year-old looked like, there was one was a 15, like a 16 or 17-year-old looked like a 10-year-old. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, they say the 29-year-old girl is 82 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah, I watched a video that this family had made. Their youngest child, little fat toddler, you know, apple of their mm-hmm. eye. I think that this little kid is probably the daughter of one of the daughters. I think it's really a grandkid. Because now there are charges filed against this father for lewd acts on 13 or under.
Oh, so we're talking incest here then.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and his parents are trying to get a hold of the kids and still singing his praises to the rafters of the church. They're Pentecostal. They homeschooled.
Shocking.
Yeah. They left a trail of clues everywhere that they lived. 20 years ago, they sold their place in Texas, and mm-hmm. the home was so filthy, and there was some evidence of the kids already being tied up in yeah. some of the pictures. But there the home was so filthy that the people who bought it, they hung on to those pictures for 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Carpet was soaked with probably human waste.
Yeah.
The doors that the doors of the rooms they kept these kids in had scratches all over them, and they believe that that was because the kids were trying to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they basically allowed them like one bath a year.
Yeah, yep. Only
they
one bath
that
a
way
year.
They could be punished by not being allowed to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
So they would just have to do it right there.
Yeah, that explains the human waste.
And they would buy pies, and these children were severely starved for many, many years. They would buy pies and leave them out on the counter, and the children couldn't touch them.
Nope.
And they would be punished severely if they were found to be playing in water. They were not allowed to wash their hands past the wrist. If they tried to wash their hands past the wrist, one of the neighbors said that the children would march back and forth for many hours overnight, just marching back and forth in the rooms. This is just...
Yeah,
it's severely...
It's like playing with the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so much fucked up stuff here. And it looks like the mother was a teen bride to this guy.
Shocking.
Yeah. And the parents of the mother...
Oh, should I have gotten out my bingo card?
West Virginia.
Shit.
West Virginia saying, oh, God called on them to have this many children. And they thought that they were all being... well cared for, but we haven't visited in like 4 or 5 years. I saw the video of the wedding vow renewal, and they would take these kids to Disney, and it was for the parents. It wasn't for the kids.
Yeah.
They had their wedding vow renewal. They're all dressed alike. It's just fucking creepy. Mm-hmm. And they had an Elvis impersonator, and so they had these kids dancing. The oldest son is just so very off, and not a hint of breast tissue on any of these girls. And most of them were definitely over the age of puberty. So mm-hmm. extremely, extremely malnourished. It's just, and it was,
yeah,
that video,
I guess, the father, Northrop Grumman, earned $11,000 mm-hmm. a month.
Yeah.
So they had plenty of money too.
Oh, and, oh God, the poor guy that had to make the announcement of what they found. I just felt so bad for him. He's like, the children were not allowed toys, even though we found numerous toys still in package in the home. It was just...
Yeah, I guess they registered their house as a day school.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So they probably it's a private K to 12 school, so they could homeschool them.
Yeah, probably got tax exempt stuff too, and all that.
Yeah, and the kid that got out, there were like two of them planning that for 2 years for a way to get out of this house, and I guess they had been sheltered so badly they didn't know what a police.
Yeah.
And the concept of anything, any sort of higher power above what their parents were.
Yeah. So when once, you know, so yeah, they're going to trial for everyone, obviously. They're in charge with a bunch of shit. Oh, by the way, guess what? They pled not guilty.
Yeah. Even though three kids were locked up, when the police got there, they managed to get two of the kids unlocked, but not the other one. Shackled to the bed now. Chains. Not hog tying and works anymore.
Yeah, they figured out how to get off ropes, so they got punished with chains.
Yep.
Sounds like an open and shut case to me.
Yeah, $13 million bail for each person.
Yeah.
Yeah. So once that trial comes, when they start building up this series of events here, because holy shit, it is going to be one weird ass story we're going to get out of it, because there is a story here. That I'm guessing they were part of this. We said they're Pentecostal. I'm guessing it was some sort of religious cult. And
oh, they weren't even going to church anymore.
Yeah,
they weren't attending church anymore. They're just, you know.
Yeah, I guess they didn't find any evidence of religious stuff in the house.
Fundamentalists. Well, they forced the kids to memorize Bible verses.
Yeah.
It's just.
They say
it's basic.
Yeah, the mom's sister traveled with Pioneers for Christ and ministered internationally.
Oh yeah,
so she's from a religious family.
Oh yeah, they definitely, both of them are from a religious background. Yeah. And the sister lived with them for a while when she was a teen, and the brother-in-law would watch her shower.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, you said this is their family's from West Virginia, right?
At least the woman, yeah.
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 Uh-huh, I know.
I want to keep from bringing out all the hillbilly stereotypes here, but...
But the fundamentalist homeschooling stereotype, sadly, has some bearing here. This is clearly, a just taken to the nth level. And... You know, and a lot of the people who are part of that community are going to say, well, these guys aren't Christian. You don't do that shit. But a lot of religious rights activists and the HSLDA, which is the homeschooling legal defense. I don't know what the hell. They make it very easy for homeschoolers to slip under the radar. And there's some religious nut job who wrote a parenting book saying, you know, you can beat the children with a pipe that's no more than the diameter of your pinky or something, and it's still okay.
Oh right. The drain up a child.
Yes,
yeah, that thing.
That motherfucker. Yeah. There's a lot that can go into this conversation. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess the early charges they have on them is 9 felony charges of torture, 10 felony charges of child endangerment.
Yep.
And the wife is accused of the same ones as the husband.
And now the sexual abuse is coming up.
Yep. Oh, boy.
Bingo card.
Yeah.
Yep. Might as well say bingo. You got the jackpot. Yeah. All right. Well, those are our assholes of the week. So now we're going to wash the taste out of our mouths with our Hero of the Week. And our Hero of the Week is Mr. Stephen Colbert, host of The Late Show, who has offered to give this autistic woman, who is also, I've been told, is a sort of amateur talk show host herself, to give her a chance to host The Late Show.
Yeah,
I think I've heard of this woman before.
Yeah, they were going to do this at the Night of Too Many Stars.
Mm-hmm.
So they finally got a chance to do this week. It was not a live interview. It was pre-taped, mainly just because getting all the tech stuff.
Yeah.
Good and not trying to do it all live. But yeah, there's the video in the article of the pre-taped interview, which was pretty well done. She has, I'm not sure if it's mentioned here, but she basically cannot talk. So she uses an iPad to essentially present her questions and jokes and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. She has her own YouTube channel. She's done some interviews with celebrities. So they show some of that. She talked like Channing Tatum and a couple other celebrities. But she gets to talk to interview Stephen Colbert. Like, she is the late show host. Talks about his issue with the People's Sexiest Man Alive Award. Mm-hmm. Being upset that Blake Shelton won it instead of him. They have a good joke here. You were recently upset that Blake Shelton won People's Sexiest Man Alive Award. I can't help but look at you and think there's no way in HE Double Hockey Sticks you would beat Blake Shelton in a Sexiest Man Alive contest.
Yeah.
So she takes all the chances she can to just shit on him. Yeah. In this whole little bit. Then has a bit where she gives Stephen Colbert a iWatch to do his own version of what she does. So she asked him about Donald Trump, whether they're friends or not, because she thinks that he gets mad about him because he secretly likes him. And so he, I guess, tries to pick the no answer, but ends up saying that Donald Trump is his bestie, and also gets him to give up his ATM PIN number, all that sort of stuff. Basically him giving up answers he doesn't really believe in. But it's a pretty good bit.
Yeah.
It would be cool if like a small channel could pick her up for something like this.
Yeah, now she's actually nonverbal, isn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Because she uses a computer program to speak.
Yeah, you said an iPad, right, Chris?
Yeah. I believe that's what she has. Yeah, she basically says, I can't talk out of my mouth, but it's not stopping me from showing the words the words I have inside my body.
Yeah.
So she writes all these jokes, and they're pretty good ones.
Yeah.
I think the Channing Tatum interview includes a bit where she asks him about the potential for going out on a date with her. He talks about having to ask his wife. She's like, I'll have my lawyers drop the divorce papers immediately.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's our hero of the week. All right, so now it is time for our proper show proper. And unfortunately, we do have a death we have to mention. The lead singer of the Cranberries, Dolores O'Riordan, passed away at the age of 46 this week. If you grew up in the 90s, Cranberries were everywhere for a while. And... you know, they were an alternative band from Ireland, and boy, did they not let you forget it. You had that song Zombie, which was basically entirely about the Troubles in Ireland, Northern Ireland, and hell, the freaking music video is loaded with, like, you know, footage of, you know, murals and parades and shit from, you know, the IRA and the Ulster Freedom Fighters and all those different groups. And she had a really... she was one of those vocalists who, you heard her, you was like, yeah, that's definitely a Cranberry song. Because she had this very distinct and very easily recognizable delivery.
And she was also fantastic live.
Yes.
Oh, I've been told they were an amazing live band. So, yeah, did we find out what the cause of death was?
No, we're not going to know until April. It won't be released until April.
Yeah. If they're not releasing it until then, it was probably pretty bad.
Well, she, you know, she had some mental health issues, and she was getting treatment, too. And weren't they getting ready to tour again?
Yeah, they were.
So, you know, it's another situation like with George Michael, you know, it's like right on coming back and making a big comeback and everything's looking up and then what, you know?
Yeah.
But at least this time we don't have some shitty ass boyfriend whose other lover died mysteriously like we did with George Michael.
Yeah.
So we have a boyfriend who is now stumbling around the world feeling like he doesn't belong here anymore because she's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, heartbreaking.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, rest in peace, Doris O'Riordan. We'll find... If they're keeping it until April, if she had mental issues, it could have been suicide, or it could have been a drug overdose.
But, doubt it. Could have just been catastrophic heart failure.
It could too. Yeah. There could have been congenital issues or something.
I think Tom Petty's death was just finally revealed
as an accidental overdose.
Yeah. Mm. Or just medication.
Yeah, not drug abuse, but
right.
His
medication. Like an interaction problem.
So he had things like emphysema, knee problems, and a fractured hip recently. He's taking medicine for that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when you get hit to be his age, you know.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, all right. So, next up, big story of this week. Chelsea Manning has announced that she is running for Senate, for the Senate in Maryland this fall.
Yes.
Yep.
Chelsea Manning, formerly Bradley Manning, famously... released some very damning classified information to the people at WikiLeaks, which revealed just how terrible that the American conduct in the war on terror really was over in Iraq and Afghanistan. Probably the most infamous is the video of the attack helicopter firing on a group of civilians, then laughing at it, and then once the aid workers came in, including one of them was a Reuters journalist, I think, they then did what's actually a major no-no in the Army, which is a double tap, and that they fired on them again. And they're laughing and joking about it over the audio. It's real callous cruelty.
Yeah.
And as you can expect, government didn't like that very much. They don't like having their dirty laundry aired out like that. So they tried her, court-martialed her, and threw her in the hole. And she stayed in there for a long time. And the fact that she was also a transgender woman who was undergoing her transition at the time made it even worse. And so she, of course, she was eventually released from she was released under the orders of President Obama and
commuted the sentence.
And she got out. She's pissed, as you can probably expect she is. And she's running as a Democrat for a Maryland Senate seat.
You know what?
Yeah.
Chelsea Manning 2022.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Or at least 2020.
Oh, yeah. I can't math. Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
me neither. I am so stuck on midterm elections.
Yeah. Because remember, we're having them. They're this year. They're happening this November. Mark your calendars. They happen, I think, on the 18th of November. Do I think she actually has a chance to win? We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got a lot of potential baggage for opponents to take advantage of.
Yeah.
Especially anybody in the GOP that has no ethics.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them.
Yeah. To pull a Fox News essentially on her.
Yeah. So she's going to have some shit to overcome before she can do it, but she definitely deserves it. And people are saying, but she has no political school experience. Well, neither did our fucking president. So.
Mm-hmm. You got to start somewhere.
She's actually served the country.
Yeah,
she's actually a veteran. And she's actually, not only that, she's a patriot. She's the best kind of patriot. She was willing to show our country what people were doing in our name because she loved the country so much.
I mean, we had the sort of unofficial policy of see something, say something.
Yeah.
She said something. People didn't like it.
Yeah. Yeah. And she did it the only way that was really possible.
Yeah.
You know, it's not her fault she had to get tied up with a shady jackass like Julian Assange, but...
That guy's just trying to turn into The Witcher.
Yeah. Very slowly. By the way, for those who are wondering, we are currently, and this is going to sort of tie into our next story, government's probably going to be shutting down tomorrow.
Deadline's tonight, midnight.
Yeah. And that's about an hour away from now when we're recording this.
Hour and a half.
So, hour and a half. And so basically, this next story, the U.S. government, we could have funded the legislation so that we could have had it, but GOP has basically just taken to blaming Democrats for all of it.
Yeah, we got all the parts of this whole process, but we can't do shit because we're kind of splintered by hardliners, the moderates, and everybody else.
Yeah.
And they don't have one agenda in this sort of thing.
Yeah. But basically what it is the GOP are like – basically the Republicans and Democrats are like those two kids on the playground, and the GOP is the one going, oh, woo-woo, I'm telling, and the Democrat is the one chasing them behind going, no, don't. I'm sorry. So
yeah, well, I was watching something from Bernie Sanders this morning, and he had a word for it, and I'm not going to come up with it, but he said that the GOP, the Republicans, are neglecting to govern. They're not doing their fucking jobs.
Yeah.
Dereliction of duty?
Yeah, it was something along that line, but not that.
Not that.
Yeah.
You know, well, it's literally them, you know, when you elect someone, you're hiring them to do a job.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if this were a business, they aren't doing their job. What would you do?
Fire them.
Yeah, now they're trying to push it as, oh, do you want chip funding or do you want to get this DACA stuff going?
Yeah, like, they're basically
have to choose?
Using they're basically using people's lives as bargaining chips.
Mm-hmm. It's like the chip stuff expired a few months ago.
Right.
You could have done that months ago.
Right.
So you're fucking around with health care and the tax reform shit.
Yeah.
It's like they've been fucking around for the past year. They finally got one thing done with the tax reform stuff, but everything else has just been a waste of most everybody's
time.
Yeah,
that tax reform thing they had. You know, they only got that after the third goddamn try. So,
2018, midterms.
Yeah. Like we said,
it's going to be fun to see just how many GOP seats just drop this year.
Yeah.
It'll be magnificent.
Yeah, you remember when Obama was president? Go ahead.
Yeah, we're seeing numbers, some of the special elections they just had a couple days ago.
Yeah.
It's like the swings from what Trump won to what the Democrats got is big.
Yeah. Pretty much, of all those special elections, the Democrats have won pretty much all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or they've elected someone who may have been a Republican but wasn't a Trump Republican. So... You know, when the midterms come, you know, do you remember back when Obama was president and, you know, there was the I think it was during his first term that there was the wave of Republicans that suddenly came in. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's going to be like that, but it's going to be from the left. And
it won't be Tea Partiers.
Yeah, it won't be Tea Partiers. And here's the other difference. Obama was actually a person who could – govern and do compromises, even though you had a Congress that was obstructing him every step of the way, he still managed to get a bunch of shit done. Donald Trump is not Barack Obama.
Yeah, there's a good quote here from Jeff Flake. Let's see. I had a commitment to have a DECA vote on the floor, bipartisan DECA vote on the floor by the end of January. Then all of a sudden the condition was put on if the president supports it. We don't know what the president supports, and maintain the only way to find out what the president supports, put something on the floor and vote on it. Mm-hmm. It's like they only want stuff that the president wants. It's like that's not how you do things.
Yeah, there's three fucking branches of government here, people.
Yeah.
Do your fucking branch. Stop dancing to the Pied Piper here.
Yeah, the president is not your constituency.
He's not your boss, fuckers. We are. I would really love for the midterms to start, continue the death knell for the Republicans and see the rise of maybe two parties to take their place. And one of them being some sort of united nationalism thing, but not with the icky nationalism.
Yeah.
People that actually like the country.
Yeah, people who want to do what's best for the majority. Like, you know,
just people that get hard-ons looking at a flag.
Right, and then maybe a democratic socialist thing.
PSA.
Yeah.
PSA, they're growing.
I don't understand.
They got people in office now.
Yeah.
But, that's going to be a fun Thanksgiving that year.
Right. You know, I think it's going to have to be Friendsgiving 2018.
Yeah. All right. Well, next up, this is basically just something a little handy. Whenever someone says, you know, you say that Trump is a racist, he is, and somebody says, well, show me evidence of Trump being a racist, New York Times did a little service for you, and they basically made the definitive list of all the times Trump was a racist shit heel.
Going back to the 70s.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, I mean, there's all the what they call the New York years. There's an obsession with dark-skinned immigrants. A section about Obama is unqualified, lazy, and un-American. They got tweets and links to all this stuff. Urban America is a hellscape. It's another section here. Minorities is uppity and ungrateful. Friendliness with proud racists and white nationalists.
Mm-hmm.
Denigrating Native Americans and other assorted racism.
Yeah. And you know, I'm pretty sure they got a section for Haitians on there, too, because you thought the shithole comment was just a recent thing. No, it isn't. He's been shitting on Haitians for decades.
Immigrants from Haiti's quote all have AIDS.
This ain't nothing new with him. He's been doing that shit since the 80s at the latest.
Here's him in one of his casinos. Black guys count my money. I hate it. I think that the guy is lazy. It's probably not his fault because laziness is a trait in blacks.
Yep, I remember that one.
Yeah.
Look, he was a piece of shit when I was growing up. He's still a piece of shit.
He's always been a piece of shit. There's a reason why he was one of the most hated people in New York in the 80s. Okay? Yeah. It's nothing new. He's always been a piece of shit. It's just that apparently somehow everybody in America had a collective goddamn amnesia.
I don't understand how. I mean, when I was a kid, it was all about Ivanka Trump and how he really fucked her over.
Yeah. Ivanka here, we're talking about his original Ivanka the wife, not Ivanka. The daughter.
Yeah. Huh. He'll probably find some way to fuck her over, too.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a lot of shit about that. We just didn't put it on here because that...
Yeah, that's almost an episode in itself.
That's something that needs to evolve a little bit more, and then we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
There's still stuff coming out about that.
We'll leave the rest for our listeners to...
I've seen people compile quotes that show that he wants to fuck his daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He said it many
including
times.
Including a certain porn star that he had an affair with and then had his lawyer pay hush money to.
Yeah.
using
and we LLC. for the record, that particular scandal is not out of thin air. We do actually have the evidence. We know
more about it than we would like to.
Yes, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
He had her sign a DVD of her work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, whenever that one finally breaks and we have all of the details, it's going to be a stormy weekend for the news media.
Oh, yeah. All right, so next story. Oh, boy. YouTube.
Fuck.
So, as everybody knows, Logan Paul went and did a stupid thing. And now everybody has to pay for it. So YouTube has decided, due to the shit that's happened with Logan Paul and with PewDiePie, because of this problem, they've now decided that they're going to punish small channels. Basically, if your channel doesn't have a certain number of subscribers, you won't be able to monetize your videos anymore.
Yeah, it's the new limits are 4,000 hours of watch time within the last 12 months and 1,000 subscribers. The only requirement before was 10,000 views, which was not hard, but now the requirements are much higher. I think for me personally, I was about at 1/3 of these subscribers, about 60% of that watch time. Mm-hmm. I know people that have well more than that in subscribers, but not the watch time, vice versa. It's really arbitrary for what this is. Basically gets rid of tons of the small channels out there. The ones that were not doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't get rid of them. It just makes sure that they can't make any money.
It can be the same thing for a lot of them.
It can be. Yeah.
It can be, or you could have a lot of them that will just stick around and keep on uploading their stuff for the explicit purpose of costing YouTube money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they still have to host that shit.
That's some awesome gorilla thought there. I like that.
Yeah, so this was a nice email to get. They're saying, hey, fuck you.
Yeah, I got that too.
And the other thing is, it's not even just the money. There's a bunch of other perks that come with it that are really nice, like customized thumbnails. That's going to go away. So now it's just three random points in the video decides, hey, this... pick one of these three, or go fuck off.
That's awful.
It's like, oh, that's how you make a really nice professional video. It's just a random part of this thing. Yeah. I forget what else comes with it. I think being able to link out to external sites. So if you had a Patreon, something like that, you can go fuck off. That's...
Oh, I missed that part.
That's how we were able to link with our Game of the Year videos to the article.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, cards. You could have cards at the end, so it'll link to other videos, or you know, like the website or Patreon or whatever might else need for that stuff. Okay, I guess they are going to let you use the cards. There's some stuff they might be adding after this all goes through. But I guess we get to keep our custom URLs. Okay, they'll just keep the thumbnails. Okay, so they changed some of this stuff from what I thought it was before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, because people were rioting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope they keep doing it. Yeah, keep live streaming, scheduling uploads. Features affected. No super chat, no sponsorships. Those sponsorships.
Yeah.
Oh, where you can purchase digital goods via monthly recurring payment. That's Patreon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like Patreon, but YouTube only works.
Nobody would want to do that. Somebody wants to tie it all into Google.
I'm guessing that some of this shit is also a response to the ElsaGate stuff as well.
I think it's built up to a head here, and the disrespecting the dead guy really was just the icing on the cake.
It's trying to cut out probably a large swath of the sort of potential like scam channels, stuff that post copyright stuff just blindly, all that stuff.
There's a whole bunch of shit on YouTube too.
Occasionally I go to the front page and it's like Simpsons 24-hour stream. Like, why the fuck do I want to watch this bootleg ass stream?
Right, and it's just this like little itty bitty square in like a sea of ads or something.
Yeah.
You can't even watch that shit.
Yeah, my favorite is the algorithmically generated kids videos that are just horrifying.
Yeah, like
that's what ElsaGate is.
Stuff. Yeah,
yeah, so that's exactly what ElsaGate is.
Yeah,
yeah,
so, it's lovely.
Either that or the weird like finger family shit where it's just.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, that was bad.
I missed that one. Goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the original one is harmless enough, but the corrupted ones are frankly horrifying.
Yeah, basically there's a channel on YouTube called Toys in Japan that is completely devoted entirely to that shit with just all kinds of weird twists on it.
Yeah, live recommendations. Fox News, Live HD, President Trump, latest news. Yeah, no, I'm not doing
that. Don't want any of that.
Oh, hey, here, we're recommending the Ed Sheeran channel. Like, no, fuck off.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, it's getting to a point where YouTube is almost a dirty word for many families.
Yeah, they're setting themselves up for a competitor to come in. I mean, for a certain segment of the market, Twitch is starting to look more and more appealing.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
You can upload videos to Twitch, I found out, but they kind of bury it.
Yeah.
If they start to surface that,
YouTube's going to be in trouble.
Yeah, the only reason I'm not really big on Twitch is I don't have the upload speed good enough for that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
VOD is much more of a thing that works well for me.
Yeah.
Which is nice. One of the things that's potentially fucked up about this stuff is if you are small enough, you only get paid every $100 you get.
Yep.
So if you're not close to that, you could potentially just lose that money, I assume. Yep. Yeah. I don't think keep your progress should you get enough of the view hours and subscribers to do that.
Well, it might
be like...
If you
eventually get it back, then yeah, you do. But
yeah, it might be like how eBay bucks used to be, where it would expire if you didn't get enough.
Yeah. Luckily for me, I think I am at... almost at the $100 mark. I'm at like 98, 86, so I should reach over that and get my money before I'm kicked out of the rich people's club now.
Mm-hmm. And that's really what YouTube is becoming.
Yeah.
Because they want to do all this stuff, have more hand-curated stuff, people looking over this stuff instead of just going over the algorithms to do it. Which is... probably a good idea just purely on that front because obviously it wasn't working well before. I guess they have some like 10,000 people to go through all this stuff. So obviously getting rid of most of the channels makes that a lot easier thing to accomplish. Mm-hmm. But I think they could have easily done some sort of grandfathering system for the smaller channels. Keep them on board for a while longer, provided they meet certain goals at certain points, maybe.
Yeah.
That aren't just, you got to...
throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Yeah.
Hey, you got to triple your subscribers in 30 days. Well, fuck, that's...
Yeah.
This is what
good luck with that.
This is what I've been at for... This is where I've gotten after, you know, 5 or 6 years. You're saying I got to triple that in 20 days, whatever. It's like, fuck off.
All right. Well,
so now they just angered a bunch of people now.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how they respond to all this stuff.
Yeah. So, next up, it kind of sucked living in Hawaii this week.
And be visiting Hawaii, as some of my friends were.
Yeah, so, folks in Hawaii got a false warning, a false alarm, of a ballistic missile strike that they...
Incoming ballistic missile strike.
Yeah, everybody got a message that literally said, incoming ballistic missile strike, this is not a drill. And so for about 30 minutes or so,
38
everybody
minutes.
In Hawaii was basically...
preparing to die.
Preparing to die, putting kids in the drains, finding shelter,
getting
their
drunk.
Last meal and getting drunk. And
I saw a good tweet of somebody
believe,
was
they all went on Pornhub in mass.
Yeah, I saw a good tweet of somebody that was at a breakfast buffet, saw everybody leave, and was like, well, I'm going to double down on this.
Just,
it's like, oh, there's more room for me. It's like, if I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out with this.
Yeah.
I saw another person whose father was in Hawaii vacationing the golf. It's like, well, I just got this thing. I just parred the 18th hole. If I'm going to go out, that's a good way to go. It's like some people are having some dark humor, fun time with it. Lots of people were scared shitless and sending, you know, texts of, you know, I love you, all that sort of stuff to their loved ones that were not in Hawaii. So lots of terrifying shit, and it seems like this is all caused by bad UI design.
Yeah, it was definitely a wake-up call. My friends were there with their three children getting ready to leave, and the hotels didn't know where to send them. They were freaking the fuck out. They were on Facebook freaking out, too. But yeah, it was definitely a learning experience for them.
Yeah. I think I saw one family, the dad just dropped off his kid at the airport to go on a trip. His wife and one of their other kids was at the school. What to do with the rest of his life? Where to go? With the chance that he was never going to make it to any of those three.
Yeah.
Like, that's a fucked up decision to have to make in that sort of situation.
Yeah.
All because of a shitty website.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And apparently the whole thing started because there was like a changeover in the shift of the people who manned that system. And apparently the dude pushed the wrong button twice.
Yeah.
Because there's a fail safe, you see. And
this is what happens when you have people making sites on the cheap. For important things like, hey, we're going to tell people they're going to die. In 15
The other problem was they didn't have a way to tell people that it was a false alarm. They had to add that after this.
Yeah, well, like you guys said, for 38 minutes, they were.
So they had no way to do that. And, you know, they were out of Hawaii, was on Twitter basically going, yeah, our bad.
Yeah, the guy that created this whole thing. He's been reassigned.
I should freaking hope so.
And I assume they're going to be bringing somebody in to better design this whole system.
Yeah, a big red confirmation box would probably be a good thing.
Yeah, tell you what you're trying to confirm. That would also be a good thing when you're trying to decide. Because like, there's been like mock-ups because they can't actually show the real thing. That would just be a potential security issue. There's like potential mock-ups showing like, oh, they didn't have like the buttons for these things right next to each other, potentially, or the drop downs were not as clear on which was the drill or the test message, which was the real one, that sort of stuff.
Well, from what I saw, it was basically just one word difference, and if you weren't really looking at it, you really could make that mistake.
It's the missile alert thing. I gotta just click on that. Oh wait, no.
Oh crap.
Wait, no.
It's like some sites where it's like a site where I get like a coupon for it that just loads up the site. It's like press to apply and it says, "Sorry, this coupon is expired." One of the options is no. The other one is okay. Like, what is no? What is that?
Yeah, no, why does that help? No, it's not expired. Give it to me. Yeah.
It's like, no, you're wrong. Okay. That's UI is hard on the website.
Yeah.
But the government being cheap is not the reason.
Yeah. Hearts go out to our friends in Hawaii who got the shit scared out of them this week.
Yeah.
One person got sent to a fallout shelter. And was also in there is Magic Johnson, Laker great, current owner of part owner of the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, my friend just sent me a text saying he's chilling in his fallout shelter with Magic Johnson. It's like, what?
It's like, yeah. Well,
that's at least that's a good way to go cool, out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hung out with Magic Johnson and then died.
Yeah. All right.
I guess it's good that the AIDS didn't get to him first.
Well. All right, well, this next story, god damn. Okay, so in California, there's this sort of fringe movement that's called the New California Movement. And basically the idea is they want to do this thing where the rural and non-urban parts of California secede and form their own, form basically what would form the 51st state in the union. Mm-hmm. And it's led by this guy named Paul Preston, who's like a conservative talk show host down there.
They're basically trying to cut out the liberal parts of the state for their own thing.
Yeah. Hmm. And they sort of read their Declaration of Independence this week to a very sparsely filled conference room.
Yeah. I think if you're going to declare independence, it probably helps that the rest of the, you know, state would know about it.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, they've been trying to do this sort of thing for decades in California.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, to no avail. Nothing has happened.
Going nowhere.
And it's weird that this particular proposition essentially says, hey, we get San Jose and San Diego. We get L.A., San Francisco, and Sacramento, I think. So, like, Dan Rib would be in the new state, I guess.
Whoops.
Yeah.
They get Fresno as well. It's like, these are still kind of liberal areas.
Yeah.
But like Northern California is very heavily like a pot meth making area of the state.
Yeah.
It's a very weird thing. It's not going to happen. At least not before Puerto Rico and D.C. become states.
Yeah.
Those are more likely to make the jump than this.
Yeah. And, the thing is, once you get down out into the rural parts of Southern California, you basically walked into Alabama number two. Like, there's, you know, you played Grand Theft Auto 5. There's a reason once you get out into the desert areas, it's basically nothing but rednecks as far as the eye can see.
Hmm.
So... moving on. This one. So a 737, Pegasus 737 from Turkey was landing on a runway, but it skid off this runway and then ended up hanging over a sloped cliff above the Black Sea.
What?
Yeah, this is really crazy, especially when you first look at the image. It's like, oh, that looks like it'd be okay. You realize, no, that's the size of the plane hanging across this entire stretch of cliff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, that's fucking huge.
Yeah.
There's nothing about that looks okay to me.
Not okay.
Initially, kind of like, oh, they just push it into the ocean and it looks okay. It's going to keep floating. It's like, no, it's... Luckily,
everybody moved to the back of the plane.
That's like a Simpsons thing, like one of the early Simpsons episodes. They go camping, end up almost crashing the car, driving the car over the cliff. It's like, okay, everybody out the back slowly. They get out, and the car just flops right over all their stuff.
Can you narrow?
Luckily, that didn't happen here. Everybody's okay. Seems like
hope everybody got a refund.
Yeah, I assume they get their next flight free. If they want to come back. Seems like the airstrip was icy, so they went the entire length of the runway and then slipped off right near the edge.
At least nobody was hurt this time, so that's good.
The weird thing is this particular airline, Pegasus, is their second ever accident in 30 years, so they got a pretty good track record.
Yeah. These things don't really happen all that often. Yeah. So, but I don't want to know what color the pilot's pants are at this point.
Mm-hmm.
If you think it's bad when you try to hard break in snowy weather, this is probably way worse.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because you got 162 people shitting their pants alongside you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of cold, snowy weather, here's a Family Guy cutaway. If you think it's cold here, you should try Oymyakon, Russia, which is, you know, there's a reason why the world knows about Russia winters. They are notoriously brutal. And this one, in this particular part of Russia, oh, it's bad.
Yeah, they reached 88 degrees below zero on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I assume Fahrenheit. They got pictures here of women with their eyelashes frozen.
Yep.
Which looks really cool. I obviously would not want to be out in that.
No, obviously I wouldn't want to be out in that either.
I was reading some about this area, talking about how they had some thermometers outside and it just ended at 50. Like, well, it's colder than that.
We give up. My suggestion to people living there is not to lick a pole. Just don't.
Yeah.
No.
Don't go anywhere near metal.
So if your eyelashes freeze, does it also kill those little mites that live in your eyelashes?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It'll come back eventually.
Yeah, so they had two men freeze to death. After their car broke down, they tried to walk to a nearby farm. Obviously, was not fast
enough. Bad idea.
Yeah, so they say students routinely go to school when it's 40 below, but it was canceled when it got to 80.
Should hope so.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
By the way, we need to remind people, this is in Siberia.
Yeah.
And it's about 3,300 miles east of Moscow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, local officials said Tuesday that all households and businesses in the region have working central heating and access to backup power generators.
Yeah.
So I assume that's probably mandated that every house has that stuff in order.
Remember, back in the day, this is where Stalin would send someone to go to the gulag. Mm. That's the type of cold we're talking about here.
Yeah.
The record for coldest temperature in a permanently inhabited settlement anywhere in the world is 89.9, so it's not too far off.
Yeah. And I'm guessing that was somewhere in Russia as well.
I believe so. It's not mentioned here.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, hey, if you want to write about records, you say who owns the record.
Yeah.
I just say, it's close to this record.
Yeah,
but who owns
right?
it? Oh. Who cares?
Yeah.
Hey, somebody scored 100 points in a basketball game. That's crazy.
Like, well, don't leave us hanging, man.
Yeah.
I remember reading an NBA tweet. It's like, oh, LeBron James is one of three people to ever do this. It's like, who are the other two?
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on?
That would require research.
You got 280 characters. Tell us more.
Yeah. All right. So next up, we already mentioned it earlier, but it bears repeating. Plague is here. This winter's flu is now literally an epidemic, and it has killed over 100 people.
Yeah. 20 kids, 80 adults.
No joke. This is a nasty one this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wash those hands, people.
Yeah.
Wash those hands. You know, cover your face when you sneeze.
Yeah, the
shit that, you know, your parents were supposed to have taught you.
Yeah, but make sure you're using the vampire cover where you put it into the crook of your arm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they say the proportion of people rushing to their doctors to get treated for the flu has already hit 520%, which is as high as that number gets during the peak of a really bad flu season.
Mm-hmm.
The rate at which Americans are being hospitalized for the flu almost doubled in the last week from 22.7 for every 100,000 hospitalizations to 22.7. So the CDC monitors the severity of flu season in two ways. I guess morbidly by how many people died. 20 children and 101 total. 101 total last season for kids. That's 20 already here. Mm-hmm. 40 million Americans got the flu in 2014, 2015. 19 million people went to the doctor to get treated. 970,000 people were hospitalized. We're still slightly below that rate, but it's not that far off. But the main reason the flu appears to be so severe, it's a strain known as H3N2, which tends to make people more sick. People get the flu tend to get sicker. It's especially dangerous for children and the elderly. The vaccine may only be about 30% effective against the strain. It's better than 10% effectiveness reported in Australia, as it's flu season before the United States because their winter's in the summer here.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. often, they use that to try to predict what happens here. Yeah, telling people to go get vaccinated. Yep.
Yeah.
Make sure you ask anybody that's sneezing if they got the flu. If they do, tell them to go fuck off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Or set them on fire, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've only ever gotten the flu like once or twice. One time is because I was around my dad. He had it and he didn't tell me.
Yeah.
So I started vomiting. I was like, what the fuck? What did I eat? It's like, no, your father had the flu. He didn't tell you. Like,
well,
fuck.
I think they're actually referring to respiratory influenza here.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the stomach flu or gastroenteritis, that's a whole nother fucked up thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I've never had this kind of flu.
Yeah, this is the one. Yeah, this is the one where it doesn't feel like a cold, where all of a sudden you've got all these respiratory symptoms. You've got a high fever. It feels like, you know, you've been hit by a Mack truck. You need to call your doctor and see if they'll do a Skype session for like $35. But, you know, there's Tamiflu. There's stuff that you can get for this, though. So if you guys get it, you know, tell your doctor quickly. So, but yeah, that sucks. And if they're sneezing, don't tell them to hold their sneeze, right? That's kind of bad.
Yeah, yeah. Don't do what that guy did, because that could be a really bad thing to happen.
Yeah. So, this is a bit of an anonymous thing, but we found out that there was a guy in Britain, 34 years old, who had to sneeze and decided to
held it in, and he blew open a hole in his neck. Yeah.
Yeah, he said he didn't feel anything at first, but he noticed problems a couple hours later when he felt pain in his throat and neck. It became swollen and his voice changed. He took himself to the hospital, and they found this nice little hole in his throat.
Yeah.
So, your eyes are not going to pop out if you keep them open, if you keep your eyelids open when you sneeze, but if you hold your nose closed, it's going to fuck up your throat.
Yep.
Yeah, don't blow one out there.
Yeah, PSA.
Just sneeze into your sleeve or into a napkin or something. Don't hold it.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so where do you want to go from up here?
All right, so next up. This week in Dumb, and we got a couple of these, to be honest. The first one, we'll just do these side by side. The first one is from the EU. There has been 37 unwanted pregnancies that have been attributed to a contraceptive phone app.
Yeah, the thing is, this is certified in the EU as a form of birth control.
Yeah.
But what people don't realize is that birth control isn't 100% anyway.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's not. It's saying over 100,000 women are using this. It has one of those thermometers that, by the way, does not go in your mouth. It measures your basal body temperature. You know, that kind of rhythm tracking is very imprecise to begin with.
Rhythm method. Yeah.
Yeah, and trying to check your body temperature to see if you've already ovulated and if you have LH in your urine, indicating that you've already ovulated, checking cervical mucus, and I'm just going to leave it there because you guys don't want to hear about that.
No.
I don't want to hear about that.
Yeah.
You know what, guys? If you can, use the fucking pill. It worked great for me for 13 years. Female, guys. Yeah. It worked great for 13 years. Don't fuck around with it.
Yeah, even this company doesn't promote this as being like 100% effective. They say it's about 93% effective.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Which is good. Obviously, if you don't want anything to happen, double up.
Right.
Because they stay on the pill or condoms or whatever.
And for Christ's sakes, double up if you're taking medication that reduces the efficiency of your pill, like most antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right. So, and then, of course, we got the other big thing, which is, it's 2018 when the government has to come forward and tell people that you're really not supposed to eat Tide Pods.
Yeah. Well,
this was a Tide Pod Challenge.
This was like a big thing, like almost a year ago, where toddlers were seeing these little shits and mistaking them for food and eating them and getting, you know, dead. So there was a thing where, you know, doctors and whatever were encouraging people, put your Tide Pods where your kids can't fucking find them.
Yeah.
They should have put them even higher.
Yeah, so this all kind of stems back from when they just used the Tide Pods. Because they had problems with, obviously, kids and pets eating them.
Yeah, because they look like, they actually do look like some sort of candy.
If you they look like Willy Wonka shit. Yeah.
And so I think I saw numbers, something like 56,000 cases over the first few years of this thing. But obviously nobody was really intentionally trying to eat it that knew they weren't supposed to. Until people just decided to start doing this for social media shit.
Yeah, well, College Humor did a really funny skit on it, and it probably,
The Snopes article goes into the history of some of that stuff. And they even made them even tougher for people to eat them. They had, like, safety latches and such for the containers. But yeah, it's been a thing for a little while now. People deciding to, and I guess probably as a result of the College Humor video, doing that, people decided, hey, we're going to film ourselves trying to keep this in our mouth as long as possible. Why? Because it's all poison and shit in there as far as what you can ingest.
It's all chemicals. I mean, it's not like doing the cinnamon challenge. That's, that'll fuck you up too. But
yeah, it will if you inhale it. No, the cinnamon one could kill you too if you inhaled it into your lungs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so Tide has obviously had a lot of trouble trying to deal with this because dealing with stupid people is the toughest of all. they've had to even go so far as to try to do new ads with people like Rob Gronkowski of the New England Patriots, where he's just, literally at the beginning of this video, is him just saying, no, 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 no.
I bet Gronk never thought his career was going to take him in that direction.
But the other thing, if you go look at the Tide Twitter account and their tweet and reply, it's just them saying, contact your doctor or local position control center when you're feeling better. Please call us at, you know, this number. We're open. Call your poison control center, you know, all that sort of stuff. Just them doing this over and over again to every idiot that tweets at them.
Yeah.
It's Jesus Christ.
On the upside,
there Darwin is a really Award, great, anyone?
Yeah. Mm. There is a really great Miss Pac-Man hack that turns all the pellets into Tide Pods, so...
That didn't take long.
No, that didn't take long at all.
Remember when people just dunked ice-cold water on their heads?
That was
2015.
Those were the days.
Yeah. All right, so next up... there was a fucking 6-foot-wide meteorite that exploded over the state of Michigan.
Which is cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of nice little social media videos of this, of just security cameras that just caught the bright light happening during the middle of the night.
I thought it was on the drive home. It was like rush hour. Because some of them, you could see a little bit. Well, you could see a little bit of sunset in some of the videos.
I don't know. There's a lot of security footage, so they're not exactly pointing at the sky. It was a lot of just, I guess it's dark, I don't know. It's security footage. You can't see much of anything.
Yeah, the dash cam ones were the ones that I watched more so.
Yeah, I didn't see much of that, but yeah, just this huge bright light, which obviously is going to cause conspiracy people to go nuts. It's like, oh, what are they doing here? I like this article that talks about small meteors. It's not what this is. They liken it to the size of a grape nut nugget. It's like, oh, that's a great analogy here.
Yeah.
Grape nuts. So they talk about those hit Earth all the time, but these big ones are pretty unusual. NASA was seeming to get an average speed of 160,000 miles per hour for this thing. This one was about 28,000 miles per hour. The normal smaller meteor showers are about 160,000, but... Still, that thing flying about, I think it was like 20-some miles up above the Earth.
Yeah.
Exploded. And the explosion was kind of powerful enough, it kind of felt like a 2.0 earthquake.
Yeah.
It wasn't actually an earthquake, but...
Yeah, the sound.
Nice thing will shock your shake your house a little bit. And scare the shit out of people that weren't expecting anything like this.
A lot of eyewitnesses were saying that it was very green in color, which would indicate that it was containing nickel.
Yeah. So now there's lots of pieces of this all around this Livingston area, Livingston County or Ingram County, Michigan.
Yeah.
Urging people to go take metal detectors. They want to go hunt for these things, but obviously do not go through people's fucking backyards and shit.
Exactly.
Yeah, just don't do that.
All right. So next,
thankfully for this shit too.
Yeah,
of course. All right. Next up. So the city of LA is currently hiring a graphic designer, and on, I think it was either their Twitter or their Facebook. They put an ad for it. It says, LA is now hiring a graphic designer. And it basically looked like it was made by a kid in MS Paint.
That's a kid with really good hands, because I could never get MS Paint to have fucking letters that look that good.
Truth.
Yeah. I imagine this was probably some sort of intern. And also, just to add to this whole thing, they put some nice Comic Sans text in here.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Just to hit on all the great bad graphic design points.
And so because of this, people started sending in replies with similar styles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like resume with only one accent over one E. Mm-hmm. Problem.
Mm.
Tyler.
Mm. Yeah, but he's got text in there.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, God. He does. It looks like fucking mutant DNA in there, too. Like, monochrome mutant DNA. What the hell? The little girl
this guy,
saying
Dennis,
happy is fun. Jeez.
Yeah. This one with this guy, Dennis, just says, graphic design is my passion. It's just a clip art of a cartoon frog.
Yeah.
And it's also written in papyrus.
Yeah.
The other graphic designer's favorite font.
Oh,
God.
Yeah. There's the dude Andrew saying his award hanging next to Billy Penn.
There's one from the local soccer team, Cosmo LA Galaxy, MLS team. It's real nice. It has a guy with a purple volcano face.
Yeah.
It says soccer is fun.
I think that's actually their mascot.
Okay.
Love it. But
okay,
fun.
And it's sitting next to somebody with long hair says hockey is fun.
Yeah, the vampire tooth girl.
Yeah.
See, we need to see another one where somebody puts a wall of text and double spaces after every period.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm feeling called out here.
We do not use fixed width fonts anymore, goddammit, Pat.
Yeah, but that's when I learned how to type. And
hey, you can fucking unlearn it, dude.
This is why.
Well, I mean, when most browsers fix it for me.
Yeah, most of them do, and there's Grammarly, which will fix it for you. And
Grammarly is
great.
Yeah, so next up, Fire Theory. I talked about it last week. I'm still reading it. Its TV rights for it have now been purchased, and it's being optioned to networks now.
Oh,
they need to bring that shit
war.
To HBO.
Seven-figure range for the option.
Yeah.
TV series, he got paid.
Yeah. By the way,
selling a ton of the book.
Yeah, so this book's been out for like 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
Something that we didn't have on here, but I'll go ahead and mention it anyway. In 2 weeks, it has almost matched the combined sales in all formats of The Art of the Deal, which has been around for over 30 years. And that's paperback, hardcover, electronic, audio. Whereas this has only been out in hardcover and electronic for 2 weeks.
Yep.
Well, that's because people want this book.
Yeah. Trump isn't seeing
it. Like I said last year, if you're looking for like some big conspiracy shit or like some major, you're really not going to find it. It basically is confirming sort of the worst thoughts that you
what we already
had.
Know.
Yeah.
It's just
but here idea. it shows it just how badly it's wrecked people's lives. It's you gotta read it.
Yep. It's a cornucopia of incompetence.
Yeah.
That is just sweet, sweet knowing that it's outsold him so bad.
Yep. Oh, it hasn't outsold just yet. It's still got, I think, like a couple or a few thousand more, which once it gets in the paperback, it will.
So by the time you listen to this podcast,
it probably will.
Yeah, well, you know, he'll need a full 3 weeks to outsell part of the deal.
Yeah. Next up, Conan O'Brien has decided that he's going to do a remote special in Haiti because of the Cheeto in Chief right now. So.
Yeah, he basically booked this last minute. Said, said, now I have no idea what the president has against people of Haiti, but the president doesn't like them. They must be lovely people, which is why later this week I'm going to fly to Haiti, visit with them, and say hello. I'm sure I'm going to love Haiti because Trump hates so much. See, what I've noticed, whenever that guy hates something, I wind up loving it. He goes through a bit of, you know, Trump hates doing more than 1 hour of work. I love doing exactly 1 hour of work. things like that. Trump hates when women reject him. I love teens. I love my teens and 20s and 30s. And mid 40s. there's another good joke in there about how he looks like a woman. Trump hates patiently listening to people he considers beneath him. I've worked with Andy for 25 years.
Oh, damn.
Andy Richter.
Yeah. Andy Richter.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah.
I think he's already done a video, like a little quick video. Over there, meeting some of the women just right outside the airports, and talk about how funny he is, and I was like, "Oh, you guys are great liars."
Yeah.
So
Haiti is a country that you can still tell is kind of recovering from a lot of shit, and not just the hurricanes.
Nope.
Don't forget that they were ruled for quite a few decades by a nut job named Pop Doc and his son.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
they also had problems with earthquakes and other stuff like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, all right. And so our penultimate story for the night at Sundance.
My bad.
I'm guessing. Yeah. Mr. Rogers. There's a documentary about Mr. Rogers called Won't You Be a Neighbor that's going to be debuting there. And, they've got a clip on that thing there, and you definitely should watch it. Because it's a very, first of all, if you're expecting like some weird scandal or something, Mr. Rogers had no scandals.
No.
basically the human embodiment of goodness and love.
Yeah. The only thing you might not know is he was in Vietnam.
Hmm.
So he dealt with things from that, but it obviously either encouraged him to be more like what he was as Mr. Rogers, or he was already like that to begin with, and it did change him.
Yep. He was not a sniper. He wasn't a sniper. That's a man.
Yeah.
And
every story I've heard about him and sort of people finding meeting him in real life has just confirmed everything he is in the show.
Yeah. And then finally, last show of the night, there is a 46-minute MRA cut of The Last Jedi that gets rid of most of the women.
Well, I wonder it only came in at 46 minutes.
So, yeah. You want to know what's out?
The entire plot.
Yeah.
See, they cut out most shots showing female fighters and pilots and female officers commanding people around / having ideas. No Haldo. She simply doesn't exist. Her whole subplot doesn't exist. The kamikaze is carried out by Poe. In parentheses, Poe dies. Leia never scolds, questions, nor demotes Poe. He is a respected and very skilled high-ranking member of the Resistance. When there's a scene where a woman is cut in making some important statement that can be substituted by another statement by a guy, then she gets cut out. Works pretty well, actually. Wookiee eats the Porg, or at least isn't interrupted in trying to do so. No green milk. What the fuck?
Well, fuck you, you're a mammal too, and we wouldn't have fucking survived without fucking milk, so fuck you. And the men's right people.
Yeah, they...
I swear to God, what is it? For some reason with these alt-right douchebags, they have this obsession with milk. Because apparently there's this belief that only white people can actually drink it and not be lactose intolerant.
Hmm.
For the record, that is not true, because there are groups in sub-Saharan Africa who have raw milk as part of their traditional diet.
Yeah. Hmm.
Whereas these shit weasels have almost certainly drank pasteurized milk from a jug.
Yep.
Yeah. See, yeah, he also says some other things here. Obviously, it's far from perfect. Source is not even DVD level. I think it's cam footage. Mm-hmm. Some technical edits were slack because why not? It's a cam source. Sometimes there's an extreme zoom despite the mediocre quality. There are plot holes and continuity errors. Some cuts are not as smooth as they should be, especially audio transition-wise. Mm-hmm. For what it's worth, it can now at least be viewed without feeling nauseous about most of the terrible big and small decisions they made in this film. Also, at least the intro sequence is now very watchable and actually much cooler without all of Leia's nitpicking. Now it's all one united resistance fighting without inner conflict, and that's much more satisfying to watch. Due to the extreme shortening, the whole movie is much more fast-paced now. At times, unfortunately, also rushed due to a lack of usable filler footage.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know what's just as annoying as MRA people?
Hmm.
Fucking Star Wars fans.
Valid.
I do wonder what the mouse is going to do about this.
Oh, he's not going to be happy.
Hmm.
He will descend from Valhalla, and there will be a great culling.
Yeah.
So.
Vengeance is mine! You are ants! I am your destroyer! But, alright, so that is the show for the night, for the week. I would like to remind all our viewers, if you want to write in, have something you want us to read on the show, just have a question to ask, you can talk to us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We've got the link in the show notes. Also, on top of iTunes, you can also hear our little cast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, and just about anywhere where fine podcasts like ours are produced. So, with that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. And for Filippo Dinolfo, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Lodge, good night.